All-in program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And as you know, if you listen to us on Sundays, this has become our Cyber Day. And we have Mr. AI Wynn that joins us each Sunday morning. Wynn, are you on?
I am on. Can you hear me okay?
Very good. I sure can. And I want to just start off with our normal disclaimer, Wynn, that just because we talk about some strategies for dealing with various forms of malicious occurrences that might happen in your computing world, and if you think you're immune to such things, we beg to differ. And I think I mentioned, or Wynn and I mentioned on, we did a little promo on Thursday for the on Friday, for the Sunday show, and Microsoft had just announced the day earlier on Thursday that 600 million of their customers each day are exposed to some form of malicious, I don't know if we want to call it attack, but let's just say they're exposed, okay? So you are in the club, if you want to think of it that way. But anyway, don't run off and try what you hear discussed as a strategy on the air unless you're really experienced with your own computer structure, security structure, etc. Consult with your advisors that might be able to help you with such matters. And if you don't have any advisors in that area, feel free to connect with us. And for those of you that want to reach us real time, maybe here this morning on the air, send us a text to 713-581-0195. Okay, Wynn, now take us away. What will we be discussing today?
Okay, so let's dive in into the Microsoft Teams security. When I say Teams security, we're talking about the chatting function of the Microsoft Office 365. Team that you can do team meeting collaborations and also, you know, calling, you know, for meetings, stuff like that.
So, sure.
So there's something going on right in the past couple of days, and I actually experienced it myself, but I'm not going to say the company name, but they actually got email got compromised, and the user been talking to the hacker for like 45 minutes, didn't realize that it was the hackers, and they unpacked some of the stuff, you know. So today, what we're going to deep dive into Microsoft Teams security, and we're going to unpack some pretty eye-opening stuff today of how vulnerable team can be, and more importantly, what can you do about it. So end of the session, I'm going to give you some tip to do it. But these are some of the stuff that your IT people can do. Don't try to do yourself. Ask your IT admin to help you with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So let's really dive into some specific vulnerability, but also practical step you could take to protect yourself and your organization. So this isn't just about tech jargon, okay? It's about protecting your data. So it's a real world stuff, okay?
Good.
So the Microsoft team is kind of open nature with a prime target nowadays, and the hackers just are constantly finding a new way to get in. So to give you a little taste of what we're talking about here today, we're going to look at some attack campaign that's been going on since January 2022. So this is not something new, just like you said before. Yeah. So it's an old hack, same score, you know. And it's already hit thousands and thousands of the organizations. We're talking about some shocking simple steps that you can take right now to boost your security, even if you're not even TechWiz. You like that?
Sure.
Okay. So there has been some, there's already impact thousand organizations. So what we're talking to here, what we can do today, okay? So if you click on let's just say accidentally at malicious software that give you the hack control of your device, that's usually when they click on the email, they actually mimic your email. So pretend somebody you're not. So basically once they're in your Office 365, they have control of your device. They're basically hiding behind the malware in plain sight. Get it? Basically hiding malware in plain sight. That means you don't even know that they are there.
Well, how are they gaining access? I mean, let's talk about Office 365 because that's probably the more common set of applications. So, you know, if I've got, I mean, the way, and I don't use Office 365 often. I use it only when a client sends me a file that I can't open accurately in Google Sheets or Google Docs, etc.
There's many ways that they can get in. They go through a phishing email. They're very common. To the phishing email that they'd be able to.
Okay, but hang, yeah, but hang on just a second. So I don't think when I click the little Excel icon or the Word icon, I don't recall getting a login at that point.
No, they don't have to. They don't have to show you the login. Everything is back on the executable on the open shell, you know,
The command. So are they accessing that file somehow?
They using those files to access on behind the scene. They're not going to show you what they access. So basically, they can compromise your email address and use to access Team. So the key is compromise your email address. Okay, they could go and this is unproven, but Microsoft not going to admit it. But it could be from their portal. Remember, they access your ISP. It could be that too. Okay, they can mimic your. They can set up SMTP. They mimic your account. You think that for them, but it's not. Like they're mirroring it somehow. So they can steal your Microsoft 365 credential. They can. There's many ways they can do it. Okay, but on the back end, let's just say that one of those is a phishing email. But I'm pretty sure there's something more that they can use is more powerful than that.
Right? Okay.
But basically, in a nutshell, they're using executable file that contain the instruction for the system to execute the DLL file. I'm not going to go into those technicals that people need to understand, but basically in the back end, that if you have a poor security, Microsoft is known for that. Their security is not that great, okay? If they can attack Microsoft file, somehow they can mimic your email, they can compromise. But afterward, you know, they can do things on the background, you have no clue what they're doing, okay?
Okay.
So let's shift gear to a little bit here. Let's talk about the actual threat itself. How do we protect ourselves? Okay, so some of the steps that right now you can boost your security posture, even if you're not a tech expert. Okay, the first and perhaps most impactful step is reconfiguring Team default setting, and this is some of the stuff that I can write it down. A user can ask. I can show the four steps.
Okay.
We can talk about, like, when you go to Team, you hit the global setting, okay? And you can disable file sharing, global file sharing. So during the Team, they cannot share any file. Get it? If they can share, they can execute file.
Okay.
So you need to disable those for global. If you talk within your organization, you don't have to worry about that. But when you invite people to Team or vendor to the Team, disable that. That's the first thing you can do, disabling the file sharing altogether. Okay, I know this sounds a little bit similar.
Does that work for Office 365?
That is for Office 365.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Teams.
Right. Well, Team is part of 365.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're talking about Microsoft Suite 365. That's include Team.
Oh, okay.
And SharePoint and OneDrive, things like that. Right.
I'm not a heavy user of Teams. In fact, I rarely use it, but anyway.
Well, this is specifically for Microsoft, and I'm telling you,
I
witnessed last three few days, and the impact is huge.
Huh.
So they thought they'd get rid of the guys, and they disabled the account, but it turned out to be the server. They compromised the server.
Okay.
Right. So once they do that, they can install a bunch of stuff that they can call home to mama, I guess I would say. Then they can execute other stuff.
To the mothership.
To the mothership, right.
Yeah.
Right. So today we focus on Microsoft 365, Microsoft only, okay? And the second step is to focus on leveraging Microsoft Defender. Okay, that's a term you probably hear. That's very easy to remember. Most, like your PC, you have the Microsoft Defender, but this is for Microsoft Defender for Office 365. Now, don't try to, if you're not tech savvy, don't do it yourself. Ask your IT admin. They can help set it up. Okay, that can, basically you can, traditional, you can set a boundary, okay, that allow it to block some of the stuff automatically using the Microsoft Defender, okay? So everyone from home, another thing too, when you work from home, here's another, last week we talked about working from home, remember? We talked about remote,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
You need to be careful the location of where you're at. Like you go to the Starbucks, okay? You go to, then you use the public Wi-Fi, thing like that. You need to remember, okay? So make sure that you get the Defender enable the anti-malware. Make sure that that's part of 365 that you can set it up.
Okay.
I know I talk about a lot of stuff right now, but...
I was curious. Thing. We mentioned Guardio from time to time. Mm-hmm. Is Guardio simply email?
That will stop. That will definitely block it.
But that's just email. That doesn't
No, that's not just with... that's not email. That yeah. all that web browsing. Okay.
Okay.
So even if they download the file, the malicious file, Guardio would have blocked it. They would have, and even they cannot execute it. Okay. So that's part of endpoint security. That's number two. Step number two. If the defender, Office Defender, did not catch it, the Guardio would have catch it. Like additional layer of defense. Make sense?
Okay.
Okay. But people need to be concerning because right now, okay, we are near the holiday, and there's a lot of phishing email. I'm telling you, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Okay, and also the crypto going up too, so they are attacking. If you have crypto account, they can hit you some of the most powerful phishing email. I've seen it.
And how does? I mean, they talk about crypto and crypto security being so tight. So is the way that someone gets access to your crypto is
credential.
Phishing where
yeah.
they get
it's all started
password?
With,
or,
it's all started with credential. Yeah. And you'd be surprised. A lot of people put their credential on their phone on plain sight or on note. So it's not everybody's doing it, but majority, they just need a 10%, maybe 1% of the people.
They don't need much.
They don't need much. And all they scan to those texts, man, they can find all this stuff. So basically, they attack your credential. That's the bottom line. So they simulate the phishing attack, and they're using AI with powerful learning. They can simulate the attack. They can get those password dictionary. They can find very quickly. Okay. So anyway, so we're talking about... So how do you, another thing too, the step number three I was going to go to is enable safe attachment. Safe attachment that you can set up on the SharePoint, OneDrive, through Team. You can block malicious file. Now this feature lock identify malicious file, preventing them from being opened, copied, or moved, or shared.
Okay, and are you saying safe attachment, S-A-F-E, or mm-hmm. save, S-A-V-E?
Save, S-A-F-E.
Okay.
Yeah.
Safe attachment.
Yeah. So those are that's part of your Microsoft 365.
So it will scan that file. I mean, does it do it automatically or do
automatically?
You have to...
If you set up global account, it will do automatically. And I'm very surprised a lot of people don't even set up that function. So you need to contact your IT department, have them set up those steps.
Yeah.
So that's what they found out. It was not set up. That's nothing. They found out how they download it. So they were talking to this person, and they don't realize that person is from the outside all this time. And that's how, I bet you that's how the Las Vegas hacking, one of the hotel get hacked using admin.
A while ago, right?
Yeah, a while ago. Last year, a year and a half ago.
Right.
That's
right.
How they're accessing it. They call shadow admin, right? They compromise them.
Yeah.
So some of the stuff, these are some stuff we can do to make it safe.
Well, that's
scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I mean, it's the sheer mass. Again, I don't know how much of the 600 million number that Microsoft, I mean, this was Microsoft saying this. So, who knows what the truth is,
So
right? Could be
you
worse.
automatically think that they are the most powerful, right? But actually, it's the opposite. I'm not a big fan of Microsoft security. I think that they're still behind a lot of stuff. But you don't have to wait on them. There's a way that you can additional layer of security you can protect yourself. Just like you mentioned, right? Beside Microsoft, you have endpoint security. Don't have to use their endpoint security. Use somebody else, like a Guardio, is what I use.
Hey, Wynn, let's go ahead and take our first break. And I've got one to ask you when we get back. Well, I tell you what, I'll tell you here in a second what I want to talk about. But let's go ahead and take a break, and we will circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, the cyber version.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? Beaplanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Ever lose your keys? Is that normal aging, dementia, or something else? Fear often stops us from asking for a simple checkup from the neck up. Knowing your numbers, blood pressure, blood sugar, and cholesterol are common, but your cognitive numbers are also important, especially if you're age 65 or older. Better to act sooner rather than later if you want to maintain or enhance your brain's health. Hello, I'm Kevin, president of the Dementia Society of America, a national nonprofit organization. I'm excited to offer you a free guide filled with tips for better brain health and important facts about dementia, care planning, and much more. Go to 1-800-DEMENTIA.org or call 1-800-DEMENTIA. Your brain will thank you.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it. Like a man, be as good as or better than. Woman up and take it like a man.
welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, our cyber version. We have Mr. AI Nguyen joining us once again today. And we've been talking about some of the security issues with Microsoft 365 Online, I guess. Is that the correct term?
Yeah.
Nguyen,
mm-hmm.
For
365
that product suite. And, you know, the I guess the question that some of you may be wondering is, like myself, I use mainly Google apps and Google Workspace being the big one, their business class suite. And Google's, you know, just as evil as Microsoft and Apple, wouldn't you say, Nguyen?
Yeah, so they and, both have the same application.
Yeah,
similar.
But,
I would say similar.
I only use it because the Google suite was more fully baked back when I started traveling a lot and I needed access to systems via the cloud. And you know, I always thought at the time that you know these things aren't quite fully baked. You know, things like Gmail and Google Docs, Google Sheet, and truthfully, Microsoft's apps have more depth, but the real issue is, do you need it? And it comes at a significant price as well, whereas with Google, you know, even with a free Gmail account, you have access to those apps. Now, you don't have the workspace level, but most people don't need it. So, you know, the Gmail level is pretty sweet, but you know, and over time, you know, those apps got better and better. And, you know, at one point you'd turn around and say, wow, I didn't know they added certain things to, you know, the application you're using, even if it was just Gmail. I can remember when they added an undo feature in Gmail. You remember that, Nguyen? You remember when
yeah,
that was?
Yeah. So
That goes back a long time.
So,
and,
yeah.
You know, you see things like that that got added all along the way. And now I think many IT people would agree that for the average person, maybe for even the business user like myself, Gmail is probably your best choice. And I know, you know, I use a free Gmail account. I also use the Workspace portion that relates to Gmail.
And, well, you know, when you're talking about Microsoft and Google, the difference between the two, you usually compare. So the core application, they're very similar, right? But when you compare the two, I compare the collaboration and the communications, right? So which one is better, Google Meet versus Microsoft Chat Team Office?
Yeah, you know? And I don't. To be clear, I don't use Google Meet. Mm-hmm. I've never liked that application. That's one that I've never been willing to pay the price on to know, you know, to learn it and whatnot. We use GoToMeeting, and I don't know. There's something about GoToMeeting that saves me from most Zoom and. Mm-hmm. You know, Teams and several other apps that I just find
so that's
little bit more of an investment of time than I care to.
Which brings me to the next step that you compare them to is integration and compatibility when you talk to both both of them, right?
Yeah.
So the problem with Google Workspace is they have third-party application service particular design for the cloud, which very good. However, it faced compatibility issue with more complex than Microsoft Office file. That's the only thing.
I see.
Yeah. But let's talk about security between the two. Both suites offer strong security feature, including two-factor authentication and secure data encryption, right?
Okay.
But Microsoft might edge out slightly with more granular security control and advanced compliant offering because you know, they got hacked so many times, I get it very, very experienced now, right? Especially for large enterprise or industry, specifically regulatory requirements. If you use them, they have like a DLP. Those stuff when I say DLP, I'm talking about data loss prevention. They're very granular.
Say it again, log?
Loss prevention, DLP.
Oh, data loss. Okay, I got it.
So when you're dealing with most of the customer or government, right, so it's important. Like data retention.
So, I know at one time our U.S. government, you know, purchased I don't know. It was definitely hundreds of thousands. It's probably millions now.
Millions. Huh?
Yeah. Of Microsoft licenses. But they were starting to purchase Google workspace licenses. What, do you have any idea what? I mean, I'm sure they use both of them for different purposes or different
areas.
They
probably, and they not only use, so keep in mind, they don't use just Microsoft Azure, right? They also use AWS as well. Collaboration. That's why I make the point about collaboration.
Azure is what you...
Azure, yeah. Sorry about for my accent a little bit.
And that's a cloud platform, correct? Mm-hmm. To deliver?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they use both. They use both because one solution cannot solve everything, right? So they have many departments, different departments. They're using different stuff, right? But for Microsoft, that with that more. So which the question is, I think I know you're about to ask, which is more secure, right?
Yeah.
So that's a challenge, right? So it depends. It depends on the application. Also depends on you, a choice, right? So for the organization that require extensive compliant tools and capability, in particular, like regulated industry you just mentioned, like the government,
right?
365 may have the edge due to its comprehensive set of tools and broader range of certifications. But for an organization that rely heavy on machine tool learning and AI to enhance security protection and prefer a cloud-native environment, Google Space might be more appealing.
Is that right? Huh. Yeah.
That's according to national survey, not by me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well,
but that was a good question, though.
Yeah, it's, and of course it depends on which day of the week you ask the question, because you know, it's a constant move, and I know.
I think we're losing the battle, brother.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's scary at times. In fact, you know, saying that, I was just reading. There's a site called Cybercrime Magazine that I check periodically, and I was thinking, well, is it just us in the U.S.? And lo and behold, it's not. Here's just a small summary of just the last couple weeks. You may have heard of the French hypermarket group called Auchan. Remember when? Mm-hmm. We used to have one there on the North Sam Houston Parkway. Do we still have that, or that changed? Didn't it? They sold.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's no longer an Auchan. But in any event, they warned just let's see, the 22nd. So that would have been Thursday, right? I believe, or no, Friday. Yeah, it was Friday. So they warned that 500,000 customers were targeted in cyber attack. The attack was targeted to the data of loyalty customers, specifically their names, email addresses, postal addresses, telephone numbers, date of birth, loyalty card number, and family composition, if that was filled in on those records. And so... I'm not sure in Europe. I know in the U.S. the Social Security number is still a key component, and that was what we discussed recently on the national public data breach that occurred. The let's see, how many billion was it? 2 billion when, or 20 billion? I can't remember now. It was a huge worldwide.
It's all over. It's all over. I can't even count that high.
And so then going on down the list, the day before, on November 21st, London has a lot of activity because London's more or less the financial hub of the universe, I guess you might say, and one of the largest financial technology companies, Finastra, I guess, or Finastra. I'm not sure how you pronounce that.
Finastra.
Reported a data breach involving the unauthorized access and exfiltration of over 400 gigabytes of data from its internal file transfer platform. So someone gained control, the ability to export files, and made off the 400 gigabytes. The following day, a cyber criminal using the alias Abyssio, or Abyss Zero, begins selling large volumes of files allegedly stolen from Finastra on the dark web. So that illustrates the progression that when talked about before, like on the National Public Data breach, it doesn't take long for that data to start showing up on the dark web. And you may have noticed how I'm sure you get emails from time to time where maybe one of your passwords has fallen into the wrong hands, and they'll be telling you, hey, you need to, when you go to set up a new account online and you use one of the passwords that's been breached or stolen, you'll get a warning from multiple of your other applications that, hey, you need to go change your password because it's, you know, been breached. But anyway, coming on down the list, I thought this one was telling on the, let's see, the 19th of November. This is all in the last week or two, Wynn. The U.S. Library of Congress admitted that hackers broke into its communication systems and were able to read its email correspondence with congressional offices for most of the year. That's crazy. It took that long. But this was, let's see, the Library of Congress said that hackers accessed email communications between congressional offices and some library staff, including the Congressional Research Service. The
Remember what it said about email compromise?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
The hackers had access from January until September. And for all we know, they still do. You know, that's the thing. I'm not sure how they can say, because, you know, 9 months is a lot of time to set up your fraud, right?
It's called dormant. They just sit in the back and they stayed for a while before you even find out. So you know who notorious for that? The Korean and also the Russian state hacker. They call the APT-28. They breached the U.S. company through a lot of, so they cannot go. Sometimes they try, if they attack you, they don't attack you directly. They do indirectly to your customer or your other vendor. That's how they do it. So the latest one, check this out. This is bizarre, and I'm still trying to digest, trying to learning too. They're using the Russian APT. They breach a U.S. firm, okay, over by using a Wi-Fi from Russia in the nearest neighbor attack. So basically they use the Wi-Fi to reach the U.S. They use the Wi-Fi from their neighbor, and then it's kind of daisy chain. Okay? That's how they go under the radar.
Yeah. And these, the next one I was just going to mention that really, I mean, it should concern all of us, but the U.S. on the 14th of November confirms China-backed hackers breached telecom providers to steal wiretap data.
Yeah.
So you can only imagine what they learned, you know, as to everyone that, I guess, the cell phone companies had granted, I mean, I assume we're talking about government agencies, right? They'd been given the right to wiretap, and it said they had breached multiple U.S. telecommunications service providers, and this would include AT&T, Lumen, which was formerly CenturyLink, that must be a business class, and Verizon are among the telecom providers whose networks were breached, and that was in the Wall Street Journal. If you want to Google that and get the full article,
no, I'm familiar with that. That's the one I think like a few months ago. In fact,
yeah.
But it happened before that. So it's just a leak that we find out about the hacking the authority.
Yeah.
But imagine if they can do that. What do you think they can hack us too? Right.
Well, I mean, it's not just the federal government. Another article on November 7th, Los Angeles Housing Authority admits data breach following a ransomware attack. So how much of our tax dollars are going to ransomware, right?
Billions.
When I know, and I'm curious if you know, and if you don't, that's fine. But, you know, the government is trying to get TikTok out of our lives, right? Because they claim the Chinese,
I don't blame them,
you know, own it. But, well, I'm just curious, how is TikTok any worse than multiple other apps or inroads that China's made?
Well,
I
can tell you one thing. So I use TikTok a lot, okay, for learning. And I also use Instagram, YouTube, right?
Okay.
But I tell you, 99% of the text that respond from I got from TikTok is all spam. It's all hackers. I call them hackers, meaning they mimic somebody else, pretend and text you, thing like that. And the first thing they do, hey, let's not talk about here because TikTok will ban you. Let's go to Telegram. The first thing they redirect you to is Telegram. That's another, that's a red flag right there. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even use Telegram. Okay.
And Telegram is defined. I see people doing webinar type presentations on it, right?
Right.
So it's got some credibility. It's got just enough to where you're thinking, okay, you know, if somebody wants to do a presentation, I'm going to go, you know, sit in on that. And yet at the same time, you got to create an account, I presume. So then you're into that pond with your data. So
I don't trust, don't even use Telegram. It's a mixed bag that I can tell you. I don't even use it. Used it before, but a lot of hackers are using that because they have end-to-end encryption, okay?
Yeah.
For a reason. So most of the activities I'm talking about, like when I say activity, I think you know what I'm talking about. They do things in there. So you got to be careful who you trust in there. Don't trust anyone. Just be skeptical. That's what I tell to everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's go ahead and take our last break, Gwen. It's a little bit. We went about just a couple minutes over. Not bad. Okay. We'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show, the cyber version, with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee.
Dreams and fantasies,
and there are many just like me
with big dreams and fantasies.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show, the cyber version with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my guest, Mr. A.I. Nguyen. And while we were on break, Nguyen brought up a topic that I'm behind the times on, apparently, And that is the use of artificial intelligence, or AI, that's providing technology that is disrupting another industry, such as diamond trading and production.
I know it's kind of different.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I know it's kind of different topic that we talk about. Usually we talk about security, but I just thought I mentioned this because it's all related to artificial intelligence, how AI transform the industry, not just other industry, but also the diamond industry. Because I actually witnessed, I have a friend who run the biggest diamonds distributor in Houston, and he took me to some of his lab and his stuff, and he showed me some stuff. It's unbelievable. So the question you probably said, how do they make diamond? How, what transforming? So first you have to say, how are diamonds, or how we get diamond today? Diamond are formed naturally under high pressure, basically. And I'm going to say it verbatim. High temperature conditions. So deep within the earth, right? They extract it from where the carbon atoms crystallize. Millions of years. It takes millions of years to make diamond, right? To get diamond. So they bring it to the surface through volcanic eruption. And by the way, I went to Arkansas with my son, and we tried to get some diamond there. Exclude diamond. Uh-huh. Look at all the process we have to go through. And I went through the process, digging it up, right? That's where the volcano is. But today, they call it lab-grown diamonds.
Wait a minute. You're telling me there's a volcano in Arkansas? Where is that?
Well, that's where the diamond is. Arkansas between Texarkana, Texarkana. That between Arkansas and Texas.
Texarkana.
Yeah.
Okay, it's right on the border.
Right on the border, and you can go there.
Been there many times.
Many times. You go there, you can get diamond. You can excavate diamond. They teach you. They give you all the tools.
Wow.
It's pretty fun. Right?
Wow.
But look at all the process they have to go through. Basically, diamond form under. Beneath the earth, carbon atom crystallized over millions of years, right? But usually through the surface, through volcano eruption, that's what they say. But today, you don't have to do that. You practically can grow diamond, and it's the process. It's called lab-grown diamonds. And he showed me, check this out, the diamond is the pink diamond they made like within months, right? And they're using process like high pressure, high temperature. They call it HPHT. High pressure and high temperature. You basically mimic the environments. But basically, you mimic the natural condition. Carbon is subject to high temperature and pressure to form diamond. So they increase the high temperature, right? And they're using chemical, they call chemical vapor disposition, CVD. So this method involves placing a carbon-rich gas in a vacuum chamber and then disposition of carbon atom. Remember, this is atom by atom to mimic. It's just like you clone a human being or you clone an animal. But they're using into this, I'm talking about, it's amazing. It's just fascinating and scary at the same time, right? That they can, what they can do.
Yeah.
They're using AI. What is AI? It's basically large language model that you can extract. You can do the precision, right? You talk about precision. You can enhance production by using AI technology, enable more precise and efficient to cut diamonds, reduce waste. Look at this way. I can have a beautiful diamond and nobody have to die. Like conflict
diamonds.
Well,
that too, but then also it appears that it's having a major impact on supply chain management and elimination of fraud. Mm-hmm. And unethical behavior, because now there's ways the AI can grade
it. Can tell.
And can tell you what you're buying.
I'm telling you, you can
traceability, accessibility.
So if you look at a year ago, the guy told me, you can tell the difference between a diamond, natural diamond, and a lab-grown diamond. You know how? The natural diamond has nitrogen. So that's how some of the detection you can scan, you can see it, right? But today... Yeah. They're so advanced that you even can't tell the difference. You can't. I'm talking about real diamond, lab-grown diamond, and diamond the same, atom per atom, the same.
Yeah. Lab-grown and natural distinction are, I think,
that
the two categories.
Right. But no, you can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Even with the machine, it's very difficult to tell the difference. And we talk about today. How about 5 years from now? right? So he showed me some of the diamond here. He has like pink diamonds and.
Well, do you think? I mean, does it really matter at this point? In other words, does it matter to somebody that's an investor in diamonds or a procurer to use?
Well, if you
for jewelry,
if you're looking from De Beers, that's the one of the biggest diamond.
De Beers.
So if you talk about a diamond since the dynasty, right? So there's some value because of the history with the story behind that. So there's some value. But if you're going to wear something for fashion, right? How can you tell the difference between the 100 years, 1,000 year diamond from a natural diamond? I'm telling you.
Right, but it's still, as you might say, the DNA involved is still diamond.
It's diamond. I'm telling you.
It's not cubic zirconia.
Nope. I'm talking about diamond for diamond. Like, no difference. Like, you can use it for oil and gas company. You can make a drill bit out of it. Think about that.
Sure. Okay? Some of the exotic.
Yeah. I mean,
drill bits.
Imagine if they can do with diamond what they can do. Maybe they can do with gold too. But gold you can't because it's not practical. It's only $3,000 an ounce. So it's still not worth it to make it. Diamond is very subjective, right?
Well, so, and I've heard, and I'm not in that business, but I've heard it goes beyond just the exploration phase where it's used for aerial photography services or installing sensors into drilling rigs. It's significantly aided mining processes in several ways. You know, it simplifies the production pipeline among other things. Some of the tools that are AI. Yeah.
Well,
generated.
I just want to make sure that both methods produce real diamond with the same chemical and physical property. But lap diamond can be made more quickly and without environment impact of mining. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
And when we talk about mining, remember mining Bitcoin? Look at this now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impacting the environments. So it's just amazing. I thought this session, I bring it up because part of AI.
Sure.
Fascinating.
If you had to pick one, what would you say the major industries are that AI is making the biggest impact or you think will
food.
Be near term?
Food. And I'll give you one example. I just read about something too. Remember foie gras, how we spent hundreds of dollars over France from a goose liver? Now they're using pigeon. They call it lab grown, not pigeon, quail. They're using lab grown foie gras. You think about that for food because eventually we're going to run out of food, right? Look at the population growing. But it's a double-edged sword. So I can say, but I'm telling you, there's so many things that you can use AI with.
amazing. Just to name a few, manufacturing, healthcare. Education, media.
I think you hit right on
customer
the spot.
Service. Healthcare. You know, when you look at, you may not like those systems, but, you know, I
cure cancer.
All the big companies have them. You know.
Cure cancer.
Yeah.
How's that?
Sure.
You know, what is the most expensive nowadays when you go? I mean, the population, people going old. You look at how much healthcare is going to cost us. So I get, you know, I take it back. Forget foie gras. That tastes good. Healthcare. Healthcare, right? Cure cancer, right? Think about that.
Yeah.
But I don't think they want that either, right? Because
cancer
is business. Business is cancer.
Yeah, you do wonder at some point. But you know what, Wynn? You know what's going to force it? Because it's not just you and I as a consumer. Who's the largest consumer of healthcare services in the world? It's our government.
I hate to say
Medicare.
Yeah. I hate
right?
to answer, yeah.
And the problem is we're running out of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like I say when we talk about on our Friday show, we often talk about the deficit, the federal deficit, the cumulative debt, budgetary issues. And we're at a point where it's no longer really Democrat or Republican policy choices. It's the math. The math is going to shut down the discretionary discussions that go on with, you know, the discretionary piece of the budget. It's going away. Here in the next 4 years, 4 to 5 years, we will no longer have the ability to pay 100% of the interest on the debt. And that's when, if they don't address it sooner, it's going to get addressed for them, because the math is going to make the hard choices. And I'll give you an example with just Social Security. Every Social Security recipient's check will be reduced somewhere between 23 and 25% across the board. It's already baked into the statute. And so, you know, you can argue all you want about how much money we should be taxing the billionaire class, which, by the way, the billionaires in total, if you took all their assets, they're at like $6 trillion, I believe, is the number. It's what I read the other day. And I don't know exactly how they're measuring that. But let's just, you know, among friends, we can talk about trillions, right? It's just a few trillion. And so $6 trillion, the current cumulative debt that we will admit to, meaning we'll actually put it on a balance sheet for the federal government, it just passed $36 trillion this past week. $36 trillion. So as you can see, that barely moves the needle. And that doesn't begin to address the unfunded budgetary mandates, which are over $100 trillion. Just on their own. And so, you know, it's going to take some systemic policy changes before we will cut enough. And this $2 trillion target that Musk and Ramaswamy are trying to come up with, that's all fine and dandy. That'll get rid of the current year deficit. It's roughly $2 trillion. But it doesn't touch the remaining 36 or 136 if you're looking at the unfunded mandates. But
All this stuff, after this, I think I'm going to go home and do some lab-grown diamond myself now.
Some lab-grown.
Yeah.
Well, you still got to buy the raw materials though, right?
So, yeah.
Maybe you'll go mine them yourself once you use AI to find them. Well, we're at the end of the show again, Wynn. I appreciate you joining us, and we will we'll return on Friday at 11 a.m. right here on AM 700. And we appreciate you joining us today. We hope we'll have you in the future. And if you want to see a topic addressed, feel free to send a text to 713-581-0195. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.